Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
I am Puma. We are so glad that you joined us today.
Yes. And on this podcast, guys, we talk about a few things, which are, Puma?
Yeah, Jesus, life, and everything in between.
Yes, Jesus, life, and everything in between. And guys, we are in the middle, really, of our series, The Names of God. And Puma, what's our theme verse for this series?
Well, our theme verse, and the verse really that kind of spawned this, is Psalm 9:10, you know, which says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." Mm. And you know, that whole concept that those who know your name, that to know someone's name is to know who they really are, their character and their values, and to really know someone. And you really can't trust someone that you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, even that whole Psalm, you know, 9, you know, talking about God's people that are maybe suffering a little bit, and, you know, as it leads up to that, and you get to, you know, verse 10, that he says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken. You've never abandoned. You never let go. You never get rid of those who seek you."
Yeah.
And that what never really means in Hebrew is never. So,
yeah. Well, to me, I love that, again, in the context of Psalm 9, right, there's real life happening. And yet, for all of us, there's always things happening, whether it's, you know, severe or we're kind of in a rut or it's just a difficult season. This verse is always true. Those who know your name, you know, and I love that we get to go over the names of God. We get to know his names.
And yeah. And so we're looking at the different names of God, and in the Bible, wanting, you know, as God wants to communicate himself to us, to communicate his heart, his nature. He wants us to know him. And because he knows us, he wants us to know who he is. And so one of the ways that he's revealed himself throughout the Bible are different names or titles that sometimes he declares himself to be. Sometimes they're titles that others attribute to him based upon a situation where they see God living out certain characteristics, and they ascribe a title or name to him. And so you put all those together and you really get this amazing this amazing picture of who God is, and his majesty and his authority and his sovereignty. And the more you see and get to know the name of God and the names of God, the more we see, wow, he is consistent. He is the one who is going to take care of us and lead us. He's not going to forsake us. He's for us, not against us. You know, we talked about God who heals. He's out to heal us, not to harm us. He's the God who makes us righteous and is our righteousness, not one who is sinning against us. And it goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
You know, so the more we get to know him, the more we trust him.
Yeah. Well, and with that note, guys, let's dive into today's name of God. As you can already see, it is Elohim. All right, Puma. So Elohim, it's a fun word. And maybe if you grew up in the church, you might have heard this one. It's pretty common in the Bible. The Old Testament has this many, many, many times, this name of God.
The ancient Semitic languages, the word El was sort of the generic word for God, you know, singular. Elohim is actually the plural of El. Yeah.
So gods.
Gods, yeah. You know, gods. Only when it's referring to the God in the Bible, when God uses it in the Bible, it's the plural Elohim, only referring to one God. So that's interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Got some Trinitarian, you know, context there.
Yeah. Well, and it shows up in the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. So question for you, Tori.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you live here on this earth.
Sure do.
You do. you know, why should you care about our world, our planet, you know, people, animals, trees?
Yeah, why should I care about nature? Well, I mean, God put me on earth for a reason, for a purpose, with a world to live in, a real natural physical world. And so, yeah, part of that is, well, God made it. I should take care of it, right? So if God's given me a house, given me a yard, given me a dog, then it would be foolish for me to misuse that, right?
Right. Just because you're a responsible person? I think all of us, you know, are aware that in our world there are people that, if you say, seem to be an extreme carer of the earth or the planet.
Yeah.
You know, we call them kind of like environmental extremists.
Sure. Tree huggers. And
or, all. Yeah, some of those kinds of things. I mean, is it wrong to chop down a tree?
No.
Could it be wrong to chop down a tree?
Sure.
Well, what's the difference? How do you know?
Well, I say if there's a tree that not in your yard, you chop it down.
That's
your
like
neighbor's
chopped
yard.
Down the neighbor's yard. Yeah.
That's not kind. It's not your tree.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think it's innately wrong to use nature, right? I mean, whether it be for firewood or just for fun, you know, I mean, I remember mom and dad, well, you guys made my brother and I go and chop trees down with hatchets back in the day.
There you go.
And we had too much energy, so he gave us a hatchet. Don't understand that, but you did. And we chopped down that one giant oak tree for, goodness, like 3 summers. It was huge. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with cutting down a tree, I don't think. I mean, it's not murder, right? Some people say, oh, you kill nature, it's murder. I mean, I had a neighbor who was very much an environmentalist extremist, so much so that she would grow like mold in her house because she thought it would be a life force. She refused to use Roundup and kill the weeds in the sidewalk because it was a life, and you can't kill life. You know, those are weeds have feelings, and that's murder. And of course, her worldview is that all life, including nature, is the same equal life to humans.
Right. It's all sacred and shares the same value.
Yeah,
right.
Which I disagree with. But again, that was her worldview of life and nature. It was on equal playing field with humans.
Yeah. So we live in a world where there's a lot of different views about, you know, the world and how we should take care of it. What's interesting is this name of God, Elohim, it really, like in Genesis chapter 1, you see this word 32 times in Genesis chapter 1.
Wow, just one chapter.
Yeah, Genesis chapter 1, what's the big idea in Genesis chapter 1?
That's where God creates the entire universe, creates life.
Yeah, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. It's just kind of a, you know, the very first verse of the Bible, it just, we were introduced to God. His name is Elohim. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. And just that one verse has so much in it. And throughout chapter 1 of Genesis, you know, we see how God, you know, creates the earth and creates the stars and the moon and creates, you know, planets and creates water and sky and light and animals and fish and birds. And, you know, you get to verse, you know, 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image.
Right. The plural form of God, us.
And let God make us in our image. You know, male and female, he created them. And you know, there you have the creation of mankind. And that was the last thing that God created in Genesis chapter 1. So he creates everything, and the last thing he creates man. And it really, the whole narrative slows down where it's almost like God is focusing on this one thing, the special creation of mankind. And then God says that we have, you know, jurisdiction or to be dominion over the earth, over to be a steward, basically, of what God has created, to take care of what God has created as, in a sense, his representative here on earth. Mm-hmm. You know, so this name Elohim, it really highlights that, you know, that God is really sort of the creator of the whole universe. He's the owner. He has the rights to it.
He has the power to do it.
Yeah, he has the power. He has the power to do it. He's the author, right? He's the author. He's the creator.
Yeah, he owns it all.
He owns it all. And what's interesting, if you are one who reads the Bible at all, I just, you know, would encourage you next time you read through the Bible or you're reading passages, just remember this concept that God is the creator, and just how often that idea comes up throughout the Bible, throughout the scriptures, that God is the creator, he's the author, or he, you know, he did it, or he is over it.
Yeah, he made it, he controlled it, he orchestrated it.
Yeah, he gets, in a sense, this is one of those names of God and what it represents that God gets great mileage of out of the Bible. Now, why is it so important, you think, Tori, for us to understand that God is the creator of all things?
Well, I think on a simple scale, if God is the creator, that means I'm not. If God is the owner of all, that means I am not. If God really has the power and the position to not just own, but control. I mean, again, Jesus told the storm to stop, and it did. Why? Because Jesus is God, and God is the creator of all, the owner of all. that puts me in my place. It shows me, Tori, God is God and you're not. And that's a very healthy thing for mankind to know. That's a very important thing to know, that God is in control, God is powerful, and God made it. He owns it. We are living in his world. God is not in our world.
Yeah, that, and, you know, what is the, really, what is the perspective of mankind? And, you know, you're going to be a dad soon, and the little baby's going to come out, and that little baby's going to assume that it is what?
The center of the universe.
The center of the universe, right? Yeah, the center of the universe, that the whole universe revolves around him. Mm-hmm. And isn't that sort of the heart of sinful men, that we see ourselves as the center of all things?
Oh, right.
That all things are for us and even belong to us. You know, what's the difference between an owner and, say, a steward?
Yeah, well, the owner is the one who has legal possession, who could do whatever he or she wants to do with that thing. A steward is someone who is taking care of said thing for someone else. So they don't own it, they're just taking care of it or using said thing that belongs to somebody else.
Yeah, they're very, very different. It's like owning a house and renting a house, or you own a vehicle. Anyone ever like rent a vehicle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How do you treat the rental compared to if it was your own car?
I floor it. I hit curbs on purpose.
You just kind of go off-road it, right? Yeah.
I probably shouldn't do that. No, hey, but no. We got insurance.
Yeah. But, you know, it's different. You know, when you own something, you take care of it. When you're just renting, you tend to not really be that concerned with things. Oh, it breaks down or whatever. Oh, whatever. It's the owner's problem.
Sure.
It's the owner's problem.
Right.
And that really kind of highlights, I think, how we kind of view our world sometimes. You know, we assume that we are the owners of this world, or that somehow we have rights to determine what we do with it and how we do with it.
Sure. We feel entitled to something, whether it's ours or not.
Right. Ours or not. If someone is renting, how should they, you know, or like a steward, like something has been entrusted to your care to manage. What's a steward's responsibility?
Well, I think it depends on the steward, right? Because there's good stewardship and there's bad stewardship.
So, to be a good steward, what's the responsibility of someone?
A good steward is one who honors the one who owns it. So they use the thing with care. They're not flippant. They don't intentionally misuse it, right? There's a sense of, I want to please, or I want to make happy the owner. And so while I'm hopefully grateful for using and being a steward of something, I know it's not actually mine, so I don't want to mistreat it, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, it's like I have kids. You know, you're gonna have a son, and you know, you and you know your wife will want to go out sometime to go out to dinner. You know, after the baby's born,
for
right?
sure.
So you're gonna leave the baby, you know, with someone else, right?
Yeah.
So you leave the baby with a babysitter. Can the babysitter do whatever they want with the kid?
I mean, they shouldn't, but technically they could.
Well, they could, but what would be if they are going to be entrusted with caring for this precious little life?
Yeah.
They should, you know, the babysitter's responsibility is to do what the parents would like the babysitter to do.
Yep, to take care, to follow the parents' instructions, right? A good babysitter would do that because that child
doesn't belong to the babysitter, right? Mm-hmm. Now, a good babysitter would say, hey, you know, mom and dad, what is it you would like me to do? What time would you like me to put the baby to bed? Mm-hmm. How much, you know, milk should I feed the baby? And give me some instructions and I will follow your instructions and take care of this precious little life.
Yeah.
You know, that's what a good steward would do. Mm. And we live in this world often thinking that, you know, my time is my own, my life is my own, my relationship is my own. This world, you know, is mine to do with what I want. And we forget that it is really Elohim. You know, Genesis chapter 1, you know, it starts with, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And what is very clear from Genesis chapter 1 is that the whole world started with a person. It was the person of God, who is the foundation, you know, the author, the central character. I mean, 32 times in Genesis chapter 1, it says Elohim, Elohim, really emphasizing that he is the creator of all things.
Yeah.
Which means everything belongs to him. He has the rights to it all. You know, and so this is where, you know, our responsibility, you know, if we are going to, you know, really think about, you know, how do we, what does God want us to, why does he want us to know that he's the creator? It's because he wants us to know that he is the author and the originator and the one over, the one who decides what should be done and how it should be done.
Yeah.
You know, our responsibility then is to find out what is it that he wants us to be doing. Mm-hmm. So you get into like nature, right? The whole environmental thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not told in the Bible to respect nature. We're told to respect the author of the natural world.
Right.
Right. To respect the author or the creator means, what does God want me to do with our planet, right? Mm-hmm. What does God want me to do with, you know, that which he's entrusted, you know, to me, which he's created? So it gets into parenting, you know, what does God want me to do with my kids?
Mm, right.
You know, what does God want me to do with my house and my car? What does God want me to do with my time? He created all these things and has stewarded them to me.
Yeah. Well, and I think what I love about this word too is that the idea of stewardship comes from a assumption that we don't own something. And so if it's not God, who else? I mean, if there's no God in the universe, then I'm the owner of my life. I'm the owner of, I worked hard for this. This is my car, my job, my house, my wife, my kids. And not only is that pride, but it elevates the things we do because we are now the Lord of our life. See, I love, one of the things I love about this name of God, Elohim, is that not only does it put us in our place, it reminds us of who is ultimately in control. Because if Elohim means all-powerful creator, then if I know the heart of God, he is good. He is Jehovah Rapha. Mm-hmm. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Sakenu. He is all these things that I can trust. There should be a sense of comfort that, you know what? I am just a steward. I'm not in charge. And thank goodness God, Yahweh, is in charge. Elohim is actually in charge of my life. That should bring peace of mind.
Right. That's a very good point. All these names of God, you know, each one kind of helps us understand a unique nuance of God's character and nature. You put them all together, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if he was not one to be followed, right? He was a bad you know, shepherd, or
evil, vindictive.
If he's one that, oh, he might provide, maybe not provide at whatever whim, you know, he's can't be trusted. Mm-hmm. It would be very scary that he then is the creator of all things.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, one to be feared and to run away from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's really important, you know, because we're talking about, you know, God, it's a person. The universe is created and run and managed and supported by a someone, not a something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's really, really important for us to remember.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
It is God, Elohim, the creator.
Right. Well, how many times do we worship and praise the thing that we're stewarding, right? You know, we make God's good gifts idols. One of my favorite proverbs, actually, which I used to think was about eating food, it's actually about stewardship, but Proverbs 12:10, it says, "The righteous care for their animals, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel." And I'm like, oh, so you can't abuse puppies. You can't, you know, but the idea, again, the animals, that was their income. Their animals and their flocks, that was their livelihood, and the righteous are good stewards of what God gives.
Yes.
And it's like, because If we trust in this name, if we believe this name of God, he really is the almighty, powerful creator, then all of a sudden I have a choice. What kind of steward am I going to be, right? I mean, what kind of steward am I going to be? A righteous one? Am I going to not just thank God for giving me the position of stewardship, but how will I use the things God's given me? Just to example, if I say I was a shepherd, I raised sheep, I can love my sheep, and I think sometimes, and I've seen this in my own life, I worship, I idolize the sheep, the things God's, the good things even, that God's given me. What an offense to the one who owns it. What an offense to the Almighty God, Elohim, who absolutely has blessed me with something, and I've taken the blessing and given God the middle finger. This is mine now, right? I mean, what a cosmic offense to a holy God.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I made something, and then someone just, like, ruined it and trashed it and defaced it. We see this in our world, you know, people defacing monuments and all kinds of things, you know, disrespecting, you know, what the author, creator, people purposed things. You know, we see in our world that when somebody abuses like an animal or abuses a child or just like destroys someone's business just because.
Yeah, flips cars and,
you know, or burns, you know, just, you know, things down. You know, we our world sees that as evil. And rightfully so, because you have people who are not the owners, who are destroying or abusing or not doing what really should be done with those, right? I mean, so this is why we, you know, it's wrong to abuse animals, not because the intrinsic nature of the animal. It's because God, you know, is the one who created all things, and he told us to take care of, not abuse, that which he's created.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and this is where you get into all kinds of other ideas. You know, God, you know, people like you talk about, quoted, you know, Proverbs 12:10, you know, keep care of your flocks. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not like keep care of your flocks and keep them all alive. No, keep care of your flocks so you can eat.
Yeah, right.
And so you can, you know, make clothes, right? So mm-hmm. Part of the purpose of God giving large flocks back in the day was so that people could live.
Yeah, it was their source of income, their life.
Yeah, and it's not like you are abusing an animal, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, part of the purpose of having sheep and cattle mm-hmm. was so we could live.
Yeah.
And that was part of God's design purpose.
Right, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good, you know, so there's a difference in how we define, you know, abuse and misuse of things. Mm-hmm. But we always have to go back to God is the creator. Mm-hmm. Elohim is the one that created. He's the one that defines how things are to be used. He's the one that defines, you know, how much we should mm-hmm. have and all these things. So, you know, as a steward, I need to go back and say, God, what do you want me to do with that which mm-hmm. you've entrusted to me?
Yeah.
Which is sort of a good AQ, you know,
yeah,
for us
it really
today.
Is.
You know, like what has God entrusted to you? I mean, do you see yourself as a steward, one who is created by God and entrusted with, you know, all kinds of, you know, possessions, you know, property, time, money, relationships,
skills.
And how are you stewarding those in a way that honors the creator who mm-hmm. gave them to you?
Yeah.
I love Psalm 24:1. It says, "The earth is the Lord's, Yahweh's. The earth is the Lord's, and all who live in it, everyone and everything, you know, belongs to God. Everything.
Yeah.
He is the creator, and he is above his creation, and he has purposed his creation, and it's just an amazing thing. You know.
Well, and that too, right? The earth is the Lord and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. I mean, if Psalm 24 is true, if this name of God, Yahweh, is true, that Elohim is so personal with us, if we really believe that, if we know the heart of God, wouldn't that bring so much comfort? Like, my world's falling apart. I don't have enough, you know, food, maybe have financial stuff, maybe I've got chronic pain, but I know ultimately I'm just a steward. God is the ultimate owner, and he loves me. He'll take care of me. You know, if you're not a Christian, then this is scary. There's a God out there, and technically, because of your sin, you are an enemy of God. How cool is it that Elohim is the almighty creator, and we're not? To me, that helps alleviate some of the stress. I can't control this. I want to. I can't be the ultimate in my life, and if I, Tori, am the king of my life, the Lord of my life, then all of a sudden, my failings, it's up to me. But how much better to know that I'm a steward of what God has given, that God has entrusted Tori with these things, and God loves Tori. To me, that gives me so much hope and courage.
Yeah, no, that's so good. You know, if we could finish with one extra tangent.
Yeah,
so
let's do it.
One extra tangent, you know, as we're talking. And I mean, there's with all these names of God, we could, there's so much more we could say. Mm. They always also find their expression in Jesus. I mean, all the different names of God we're talking about all come, you know, back to Jesus. Like John 1:1, you know, which sort of John is writing paralleling, you know, Genesis 1:1, where he says, in the beginning, John 1:1, was the Word, talking about Jesus. And the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. Mm. He was with God in the beginning. And then the very next verse, it says, through him, the Word, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made.
Wow, yeah.
You know, so Jesus was, you know, the agent involved in creation. And what really strikes me about that is, you know, a few verses later, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. See, there are some people that think that the world is bad, like the physical world is bad, that the earth is bad, you know, that physical matter is bad.
Right, that nature is evil.
That the nature is evil, and we need to do whatever to it. Even like the human body, you know, is evil. And here you have the Creator who created all things, you know, Elohim created. Jesus entered his creation, you know, to rescue and redeem it, not because it's bad, but because of you know, as the creator to rescue that which has been abused, that which has been corrupted because of sin, you know, which is just an amazing, amazing thing. You know, God has a high value of all that he has made, you know, people and the whole world, and cares about it all, but has purposed you and I with the responsibility to steward and manage in a way that honors him as the creator. And what a privileged place that we have.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. And again, I love the AQ Puma, you know, like, and to what you had said with that, because Jesus did model everything, and the names of God are not separate from Jesus. I think that's a really good point. And so, yeah, for us, you know, what has God entrusted us? What has God given us? And are we going to honor the giver? Will we honor the God? Will we honor Elohim, the one who is ruler of all? And will we honor him with what he's given us? That's good. And guys, thank you for joining us again. As always, if you have any questions or concerns, feel free to reach out to us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We would love to touch base with you guys, get feedback, and honestly, even moving forward, if there are things or questions you have, maybe we can even address those at the end of the series. Because again, we want this to be a podcast where you fall in love with Jesus. And if we can help with that avenue, we want to. So just appreciate your guys' support and tuning in. And yeah, tune in next time, Fridays at 10:10 with our next name of God. Bye.
Bye-bye.